I invite you to listen to a familiar story, but it is a dangerous story. Lean into the discomfort of the danger and the shadow of this week. Listen for the Word of God and allow it to find you where you are on your journey. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it, and if anyone says, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went and they found the colt tied near a door outside of the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed him to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches as they had cut from the fields. Then those who went ahead of him and those who followed behind were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" The word of life. Thanks be to God. I was talking to a friend of mine, a colleague from seminary. I haven't seen her in 25 years. And we were talking about how quickly the years of ministry have gone by. When I first started out in ministry, people go, "Oh, you're so young. Are you sure you can do this?" And now people are saying, "When are you going to retire?" It's just gone by a little too fast. I just say, "Exactly how old do you think I am?" But my colleague said, "Well, when people ask me about retirement, I simply say, I will retire when the population at church on Good Friday is the same as it is on Easter Sunday." I used to get this story all wrong. I used to think this was a sweet little simple story of Jesus saying, "Oh, well, it's Passover time. I think I'll go to Jerusalem. Oh, Uber's locked up. I'll take the colt." And people just followed him. But it wasn't that. This passage proves just what a shrewd zealot Jesus was. Because it was the holiest week of the Jewish year. And Pontius Pilate knew that there could be trouble. There had been trouble in the past. So Pontius Pilate goes to Jerusalem himself. And before him is the might of the Roman army, the greatest army of the time. Marching before him, you can hear the sounds of the soldiers. You can see the great horses that Pontius Pilate has before him. You can see the gleam of the armor and the gold and the golden eagle announcing, "This is our military might." And this is the Roman theology. And the Roman theology went back to the first Caesar, who was said to have been the son of Apollo. He was given these titles: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And once he imposed the peace of Rome upon the land, the Pax Romana, he was also called the Prince of Peace. Jesus knew that the representation of the kingdom that they thought was perfect for the earth was coming in, and on the opposite side, he gets on a colt. It must have been street art. It must have been a bit of buffoonery. He said a colt that has never been ridden. His feet were probably hanging on the ground. You can imagine a colt that's never been ridden before. It's probably not going to act very good. And yet he starts at the Mount of Olives, where, according to Jewish theology, the last great battle will take place. And finally, there will be peace in Jerusalem forever. He didn't speak in large cities. He gathered the country peasants around. We can imagine that we would be in the crowd, but no, they were peasants. They had nothing. The people in the crowd, according to Lily and Daniels, were the people who wore hoodies, the simple people. And they had seen him feed people, cure people, teach of the kingdom of love, not of Rome, but a kingdom of love which was more powerful than anything that Caesar could bring in. So we see these two stark differences between the kingdom of Rome and the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus plans it. He knows that when he walks in and the people, the Sanhedrin, and the Roman military see what a crowd he has gathered around him during his ministry, he knows that he is going to be put on the terrorist watch list. He will never be able to fly. The NSA won't let him. He knows that he is marked now as a dangerous man. And then John records it, that he goes into the temple and turns over the coins and the tables, and he has put a bullseye on his chest. The peasants are seeing their hope, perhaps the kingdom of God being established now. Jesus knows how Rome is seeing him. He knows that he's put his life in jeopardy and that he's not going to make it out. Well, we know the story, but there's the rest of the story. I came across this letter on Facebook, and I wanted to share just a part of it with you, because I think it calls us to ask what we do about this story. It's called A Letter to Christians in Indiana from Jesus. Dear Christians in Indiana, and those elsewhere who might read this, I have seen what's been going on lately. Actually, I've been watching you all along, and I really need to let you know something, just in case there is any kind of misunderstanding. This isn't what I planned. This isn't the church that I set the table for. It wasn't my dream. The dream I had for you when I spoke to you in parables about the kingdom, about my kingdom. It was all supposed to be so very different. It was supposed to be pervasive, beauty, relentless, the yeast that permeates the planet, an unstoppable virus of compassion and mercy spread from person to person, not needing government or law or force. It was supposed to be the smallest, seemingly the most insignificant seeds, exploding in glorious array all through the world in the sacred presence, becoming a place of safety and shelter for all my people. It was supposed to be something so precious, something so obvious, a treasure that people would sell everything they had just to own a little bit of it. It was supposed to be my body, my very flesh. You're designed to do this. My kindness, my goodness, my forgiveness. You're created to transport this to the world. You were made to deliver the greatest good news in the world who is so desperate for us. I wonder if the planning of this shrewd politician, this zealot, who believed that every single person on the planet has value, and that most of the time they forget their value. And so we're supposed to share that value of Christ with one another, feeding each other, loving each other, being there together in times of pain and anguish. That's what Jesus set up. I probably shouldn't bring this up because, you know, May the 4th is coming up. And some of you especially know that Star Wars Day. And because of my last name, it's just relentless. But in the first Star Wars movie, Darth Vader and Ben Kenobi are fighting. And he says, Darth Vader says to Ben Kenobi, "You're a very weak old man." And Ben Kenobi says, "You can strike me down, and I will come back twice as strong as I ever was." It's the story of the resurrection. Here we are as God's kingdom. Here we are in the shadow of the cross. Here we are called to go out into the world and to share those values of Christ. Knowing that, I wonder how you choose to live your life on the most sacred week of the Christian year. Amen.